Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode or broadcast from New Beginnings Ministry here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's date is Wednesday, November 21st? I don't know. I don't know. When you're retired, you kind of lose track of your day. Yes, Wednesday, November 21st, and it's 7 o'clock in the evening, and I welcome you to our broadcast. I am Dr. Suzanne, and tonight's topic is human value. The phone number here, if you're listening by computer, is 347-237-4054. If you'd like to call in, if you want to speak to us too, when you dial that number, just press 1. You'll be in my queue, and I will make sure that I open up the line so that we can hear from you. If you called in and you're there, I see you. I see a couple calls right now. Hold on, because we're going to get to you. Father God, we thank you for this time this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this wonderful vehicle of Blog Talk Radio, Father God, to get the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to your people, dear Lord, to your children, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, in this season of Thanksgiving, Father God, as our nation celebrates Thanksgiving, Father God, and how those first founders of our country, Father God, were Christians, Father God, and acknowledged you in all they did, Father. And we thank you for that time. And we gratefully, Father God, thank you for this time together as your children and as listeners to this program this evening. Amen. Again, our topic is human value. Brother Norm hasn't been with me for a couple of weeks. I'd like you to please lift him up. He had been ill and hospitalized. He is recuperating. He's at home, and maybe he'll call in today. I'm not sure, but please lift up Brother Norm from New Beginnings Ministry. Okay, our topic again is human value, and my question is, do you know that you are a valuable person? Do you really, really know that? Are you speaking life? You've heard us say that before, speaking life to yourself. There's a song that one of the gospel artists sings, saying sometimes you have to encourage yourself, and that is speaking life to yourself because you know that you are carefully, that you were wonderfully, purposely made in God's image. Praise God. Our thought tonight is, the life Jesus gives is rich and abundant, eternal and immediate. Life in Christ is lived on a higher plane because of his overflowing forgiveness, love, and guidance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our first scripture reference this evening, and please follow along with me. Make sure you have your notebook if you want to write down the scriptures for future reference or look at after our talk. I encourage you to do that. If you look at Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. And 26 reads, then God said, let us make a man, someone like ourselves, to be the master of all life upon the earth and in the skies and in the sea. So God made man like his maker. Like God did God make man. Man and maid did he make them. And God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. You are masters of the fish and birds and all the animals. Now, in those verses, we see the creation of man. And I believe we discussed this last week, but not last week, maybe it was the week before, about in the verse 26, then God said, let us make a man. That us gives us knowledge of the presence of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the made man in the image of God, in the image of God. Praise the Lord. Let's see if we have any comments on that one. I'm going to look at area code 973 and see if you have anything to say. 973, are you there? 973? Okay, 973 must be shy right now. But that's okay. The next verse is Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 through 8. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 through 8. Our ministry on the computer seems to be growing. Every week we get more and more listeners, and I appreciate you for listening. I would like to hear from you if you listen. I value your comments. I value your opinions. So please feel free to reach out to us. We're also on Facebook. Our ministry under our ministry name, New Beginnings Ministry, and you'll see an eagle there to greet you on the page when you open the page. Please visit. Please leave a message. That's Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, and they read, I cannot understand how you have made. I cannot understand how you can bother with mere puny man to pay any attention to him. And yet you have made him only a little lower than the angels and placed a crown of glory and honor upon his head. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to 4. Where this is a song praising the Lord for his majesty and his glory, and praising him in spite of our humanness, in spite of us being so much weaker than God, that we are weak vessels that he made, but he loves us so much. He loves us so much that that he gives us, extends his grace and his mercy to us daily. And here we have another line also in the verses that we just read about the angels. Very often, and I know this may be off topic, but I do want to hit on it. We're not studying angels this evening, but I do want to say this because the opportunity has presented itself, and that is very often people will refer to others as being angels or especially when someone has gone on to be with the Lord, or as some people say, transition or path, that people will say, well, now they're among the angels, or that they are an angel looking over me. Note, please note, that in Psalm 8, verse 5, it says, and yet you have made him. In other words, and yet you have made man and woman only a little lower than the angel, and place the crown of glory and honor upon his head, only a little lower than the angel. Saying that we're lower than God, yes, but we have the ability, because of the way the Lord loves us, to command angels and to call on angels on our behalf. Does that make sense? The angels are even mystified as why the Lord loves us so, and why the Lord will crown us with glory and honor. You know, why the Lord would favor us, why the Lord would be so forgiving and passionate and merciful with us. But we do have that privilege. We do have that that authority. Let's look back at Genesis, at Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Genesis 3, verse 17. Genesis 3:17 says, and to Adam God said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit that I told you not to, I have placed a curse upon the soil. All your life you will struggle to extract a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat its grasses. All your life you will sweat to master it until your dying day. So why are we talking about this verse or we're looking at when our topic this evening is human value. Well, that's because in this verse, if you remember the verses before, is where the Lord, the punishment were given to those that sin, the punishment for disobedience, and in the order the Lord gave the punishment in the order of guilt. So the first time it was guilty was the serpent in the garden, and the serpent was given to be the lowest of all animals, of all domestic animals, and to be under the woman's feet, under the woman's children's feet. And then for the woman, which Satan has, I have a note here that my pastor, Kathy, must have said, I wrote in here, that Satan has a venomous hatred for women because the Lord had made it so that it had said that the woman's children would crush the serpent's head. Okay? It also says with a woman that she would have intense pain and suffering in childbirth, but yet she would still have desires for her husband. Now, another notation that I have here about this, we talked about the messianic promises in a few episodes ago, but if you go back to that same verse, verse 15, excuse me, in chapter 3, this was the first prophecy of Christ, that the feet of the woman will crush the enemy's head. And so that's the first prophecy that Christ is coming because actually women don't have feet, right? So this was the acknowledgement of the coming of Christ. So when we go down to the last verse that we were talking about, verse 17 of chapter 3, it says, because you have listened to your wife and ate the fruit when I told you not to, I have placed a curse upon the soil. All your life you will struggle to extract a living from it, and it will grow thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat as grasses. All your life you will sweat to master it until your dying day. That was the last one. And the reason it's so important in our subject tonight about human value is that even though Adam and Eve broke the law, they broke the promise or the covenant that they had with the Lord still loved them and still wanted and still desired to be in covenant with them. So rather than, because the penalty for broken covenant is death, rather than kill Adam or Eve, he punishes them in a different way. And so you say, well, where was the penalty paid? Well, the penalty was paid when, if you remember, they were naked. And so the Lord covered them. So there was blood that was shed when the animal was killed for his fur. And so that was the blood, shedding of blood that took place on behalf of them with that covenant. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And still, we see that the Trinity is present. We see that the Trinity is present. Another thing that we might want to notice here in chapter 3, verse 16, is that you can see where we talked about family last week, about husband and wife and the children, but we see the first conflicts in the family also, the conflict of Adam not protecting or not exercising his authority as husband to come between Eve and the serpent, but also then he denied that he did it, but blamed it on her, which is conflict. And you also see that, let's see here, that Eve was where she, before she was, she and Adam walked together and communed together and did everything equally. This is where she comes into subjection of her husband, or she feels oppressed by
her husband, and this some say it may have been the beginning of the women's movement. So it was a struggle. It became a struggle for her to honor him in that way. And even for him, he decided, if you go down to verse 20, the man named his wife Eve. That's when he called her Eve. Before it was woman. She was bone of his bone. You know, she was him. And he called, says, this live, and the word Eve means, the name Eve means the life-giving one. So she became more than his lover and his best friend. He began to see her as the one that gives life, or as some people may say in the hood, as his baby's mama. So, okay, I'm sure I'll get calls about that one. But and sometimes we even see that in marriages, where women will say, well, after I had the children, my husband, our relationship changed, and my husband doesn't look at me the same way. And that's a subject for another day also. Let's look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 9, verse 5 and 6 reads, and murder is forbidden. Man killing animals must die, and any man who murders shall be killed. For to kill a man is to kill one made like God. So this shows us that this is, people use this scripture when they refer to capital punishment. You see, God created man as himself, and we are so precious to him that we have to remember that we're created in God's image, and that in his image that we should not harm one another. We should not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts is in the New Testament. Turn to your right. Acts chapter 17. Again, our topic tonight is human value, and I'm going to go to the queue and see if we have any comments. Let's see here. We have a call, I believe this is from 216. And another call, I'm going to try to see what 973 says. I'll try these two right now. Are you there, caller? Hello? Hello? Hello, caller, are you there? That's interesting. Very interesting. Okay, let's go to chapter 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 reads, he created all the people of the world from one man, Adam, and scattered the nations across the face of the earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall and when. He determined their boundaries. His purpose in all of this is that they should seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:12. 1 Corinthians 12:12 reads, our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they are all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. All put together, we make up one body. So this is the unity in the body of Christ. This past weekend, we went to a ministry event. It was a fivefold ministry event. And there were some very dynamic, very, very dynamic ministers that were there. And the focus was the fivefold ministry, the pastors, preacher, pastors or preachers, the teacher, the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist. And from that ministry, the coordinator of the event had someone represented from each one of those areas of the fivefold ministry to minister to the body of Christ that is present there that evening. It was a wonderful event. That was with Alpha and Omega Ministries in Warren, Ohio. Okay. For 12, again, our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. Amen. Human value. Human value. We are valued. We are very important to the body of Christ. Let's look at John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. John 13:34 reads, "And so I am giving a new commandment to you now. Love each other just as much as I love you. Your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So how do we show love for one another? That's the commandment, to love one another. How do we show love for one another? What do we do? What do we do? So it's during this season, Thanksgiving, there's a lot of giving and a lot of efforts to reach out to humanity and to do our efforts to be more giving. It's like a season. It's as big as a season of giving, a season of expressing or demonstrating God's love, the love of Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you again that people are in need not only during November or December. People are in need all year long. If we could contain it just November or December, wouldn't that be nice? But I believe that as the body of Christ, that if each of us reached out and just mentored or cared for one family, saved or unsaved, that that we can eradicate some of this hunger. There's so much abundance in some areas and ways, and then we find lack and destitution in other places. Today, my husband and I yesterday, along with other folks from the ministry that we participate with, were blessed to be able to be a blessing to other families. We had a wonderful donation from one of the grocers that is here in our area, and which paid for most of the food that was given away. And just to see the looks and the joy on the faces of the people that came to pick up Thanksgiving baskets. And I've done that before and participated before, but I believe that in these times, and we see so much of it now, and we hear it more, that it was just such a blessing for me to be able to see these people being blessed. So I ask you that, and to please think about others as you go shopping. You'd be surprised at what people need. We are talking about the use of some of these people are working but don't make enough money or working part-time. Some have been looking for work. Some people are disabled. There's some people that are receiving assistance, but the assistance isn't enough. You have to think about that. If you don't think, if you have all that you need and you're not struggling, sometimes we don't think about simple things. There are things that we take for granted, like toilet paper or having a toothbrush or toothpaste. You know, we need to think about those things, like laundry detergent or bath soap. But simple things like that, we take it for granted. And, yeah, we can pick them up at the dollar store or at Aldi's, if you're in an area where there's an Aldi's or a discount grocer or whatever, but it still takes money. It still takes money. And sometimes these people are making the choice of either getting their medicine or getting the things that they need in order to maintain a healthy lifestyle, you know, other than the medicine, like with laundry detergent or soap or toilet paper. So they have to make that decision. So to be able to supplement their groceries, to be able to supplement their shopping needs, their household needs, it's a blessing when they receive toilet paper. We are blessed to receive toothpaste, toothbrushes, cases of soap, shampoo, lotion, feminine hygiene products, razor blades, shaving creams, things that people would not be able to buy with public assistance, with the food card. We think about, what else was I, something else just came to mind and just lifted, things like Q-tips for your babies or baby wipes. I know we can use washcloths too, but other things for babies, you know, for babies that a baby may need, baby shampoo, baby powder. Those things aren't covered when we talk about the state public assistance. Those things aren't covered. So think about that as you go shopping. Think about who you can bless with food or with some type of household item. Remember, everything you use, these people that are needy also need and could use, so you can bless them. Okay, that was a quick commercial. So I'd like to go back to our scriptures for this evening. And I believe we're on Matthew now, Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. And again, our topic is human value. Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. And it reads in the Living Bible, the world will be at ease, banquets and parties and weddings, just as it was in Noah's time, before the sudden coming of the flood. People won't believe what was going to happen until the flood actually arrived and took them all away. So shall my coming be. This is Jesus Christ talking. The words in red, remember, those are words you need to really pay close attention to. People won't believe what was going to happen until the flood actually arrived and took them all away. So shall my coming be. Two men will be working together in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be going about their household tasks, and one will be taken, the other left. So be prepared, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. We talk about the rapture, and there's our scriptures for the rapture. That was Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40. And actually, I read all the way down to 43. Amen. 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 Human value. That's how much the Lord values. That you would be raptured up. Those in Him would be raptured up with Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord to avoid the tribulations that were to come. Let's look at Romans 12, chapter 12. Verse 3 to 5, Romans 12, verses 3 to 5. Romans 12, verse 3 to 5 in the Living Bible reads, as God's messenger, I give each of you God's warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as there are many parts of our body, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it. And it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There it is again. Each part of the body is important. Each part of the body is important. You have extreme value to the Lord. You are created in His image. He loves you tenderly and dearly. He knew you before you were being knitted in your mother's womb. He desperately loves you. Our next scripture is Luke chapter 10, verse 33. Again, this is Blog Talk Radio, and our topic this evening is human value. If you're just checking in with us, we appreciate your calling. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you checking in with us in our archive listeners. We thank you. Our listeners who are listening and sitting by quietly, we thank you. We acknowledge you. And those who call in on the queue to speak, we welcome and we thank you also. Okay, that's chapter 10 of Luke, verse 33. Chapter 10 of Luke, verse 33 reads, "But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity." Amen. That goes back to what I was talking about when we talked about the people that are in need. You see, all Samaritans were despised by the Jews, and the feeling was mutual because of their history together. But in this case, this is Jesus speaking, "But a despised Samaritan." Let me go back to the chapter before to give us a few context clues. In verse 29, the man wanted to justify his lack of love for some kinds of people. So he asked, "Which neighbors?" Well, Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jew going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money and beat him up and left him lying half dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along. And when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A Jewish temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but then went on. But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and walked along beside him until they came to an inn, where he nursed him through the night. The next day he handed the innkeeper two $20 bills and told him to take care of the man. "If his bill runs higher than that," he said, "I'll pay the difference the next time I am here." Now, then Jesus says, "Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the bandit's victim?" Isn't that interesting? You see, pain and suffering should not be akin to prejudice. You see someone in need. In our society today, we have people that are suffering in all walks of life. Like I was talking about, the people that are going to pantries. Never before in my lifetime, I'm sure during the Depression, the Great Depression, but in my lifetime, has there been need so great where when we think of poverty or people in need or hunger centers and shelters, we usually imagine the inner city. And we can go as far as thinking about rural America being in need as farmers, and our society changes from an agricultural society, has changed so from agriculture and need. So we think of inner city, major inner city, urban areas. We think of farmland, the heartland, rural areas. But today, the suburbs are saying the exact same thing, where you have hunger centers in suburbs, you have pantries in suburbs, you have churches that are offering community meals once a week in suburbs also. You have emergency relief centers in suburbs also. So need people in need, people that are hurting, people that are suffering, it's not bound by your race or ethnicity. It's not bound by economics, your economic group, your gender, your sexual orientation, as that has become a category. It's not bound by that. It's not bound by religion, that when you're in need, you're in need, and someone has to fulfill the need. So here in this parable that Jesus is telling, he's saying that here is one that was despised. A person was beaten and clothes taken away, and he's on the ground suffering, and even his own kinsmen passed him up. But one who he had been prejudiced to, or that his group had previously been prejudiced against, is reaching out to him. So did he receive the care? Yes, he received the care. Yes, he received the care. Should it make a difference when we want to give? Should it make a difference who we serve? It shouldn't make a difference. Wherever the Lord has planted you, that's where you're supposed to serve. Whoever's there before you, that's who you're supposed to serve. We're supposed to bloom where we're planted. And then we also have to learn how to bloom where we have been transplanted. So sometimes the Lord moves us to other places. So it's not happenstance that you have the job that you have. It's not happenstance that you are living in the neighborhood that you're living in. That we are to minister from where we are. Your ministry begins, of course, at home with your spouse and your children, those who come into your home, but also those who are around your home. And wherever you've been placed to work, blessed to work, because that is a blessing, and we should be thankful for to be able to work. And we must remember that as we work, that we share our tithes and we make offerings and we do donations and we bless others with the privilege of being able to work. But we're to be a blessing in your church, a blessing in your neighborhood, a blessing to your family. You know, blessing at work, we're to be a blessing. Again, my pastor said, we're blessed to be a blessing. And we shouldn't look at, we have to get beyond denominations and race and culture and religious differences and gender differences and ethnic differences to do the work of the Lord. We have to get beyond that. We have to get beyond that because all of us are creatures of the Lord. We have all been created in God's image. All of us, every last one of us. And we should be responding to one another with the love of Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's look at James chapter 2, verse 1. Through 9. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. My brethren, how can you claim that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, if you show favoritism to rich people and look down on poor people? If a man comes into your church dressed in expensive clothes and with valuable gold rings on his fingers. And at the same moment, another man comes in who is poor and dressed in threadbare clothes. And you make a lot of fuss over the rich man and give him the best seat in the house and say to the poor man, you can stand over there if you like, or else sit on the floor. Well, judging a man for his wealth shows that you are guided by wrong motives. Listen to me, dear brothers. God has chosen poor people to be rich in faith, and the kingdom of heaven is theirs. For that is the gift God has promised to all those who love him. And yet, of two strangers, you have despised the poor man. Don't you realize that it is usually the rich man who picked on you and dragged you into court? And all too often, they are the ones who laugh at Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear. Yes, indeed, it is good when you truly obey our Lord's command. You must love and help your neighbors just as much as you love and take care of yourself. But you are breaking the law of our Lord when you favor the rich and fawn over them. It is a sin. It gives us something to think about. And in our society, we definitely see evidence of that. We definitely see evidence of that, where people, because of money, lift up other people. It's like the emperor's new clothes. The emperor was walking around naked, and everyone just oohed and aahed over his new clothing. You know, they told him, that, you know, it's invisible wear. He's walking around naked, and people would not acknowledge that he was naked because he's the emperor and because he's rich. But it was one child who laughed at him and said, you're naked, you know, and called it for what it was. And we have to be very careful that we don't honor men or women or folks just because they have money. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. He loves us just as we are, rich or poor. Now, I'm going to mention something that happened, and happened to me personally. And I was invited to help host an event, my husband and I. And we're faithful church attendees, and we're faithful, as, you know, where ministry is concerned, but we're not the richest people. And we're humble, and we're people that hard work and trying to hold on the middle class folks. And so anyway, we were invited to help host an event. And at this particular event, there were people that were there who were obviously very, very wealthy, very well-to-do. Or I should say were going to be there, because the piece I want to tell you about is what happened before that. And so in with the group that was planning, these other couples that we were with, and planning and looking at who was on the guest list. And this was an event, and it was Christian people, an event to help plan a kind of like a campaign, like a fundraising campaign. And so we needed help from these particular people. So a certain couple that was involved were also members of, or attended the church that we attend. And so we were discussing what we could do, what we serve, and how the evening would go and so forth. And I made mention of, I don't know what it was. I can't even remember what I had said. But I do remember the woman's reaction. And she said, she says, well, something about her being a tithing member and her, she and her husband being more fluent than my husband and myself, which in my flesh I took offense to. It hurt my feelings that she would say that. It hurt my feelings that she was so cognizant of that, of the fact that I was probably not in the same class that she was in. And over time, I mean, we still did what we were supposed to do, what we had said we were going to do. And it took a little while for me to get over that and to forgive her. But I know that wasn't God. That wasn't a God-like act. That wasn't a Christ-like act. Because the Lord doesn't do things like that. It was the effort. It was the we were there. We were asked to be there because of who we were, and we were invited because of, for whatever reason, because of the way that we ministered or carried ourselves in the body of Christ. And that's what I appreciate. And through time, I came to forgive her. But I just want to be so careful, so careful that I don't do that to someone else. So I praise the Lord for allowing me to know what that felt like, what it felt like. And so we have to be very, very careful. But sometimes, and I don't think she did it purposely. I really don't believe she did it purposely. But sometimes we say things just in our day-to-day walk, thinking that it's like certain things are given because they're common to us or because we're comfortable with it, that everyone else would be comfortable also. But like our scripture says here, you know, we have to be careful and handle everyone gently. We have to cherish everyone. So our greeting for the person who comes in the door with the meat coat should be the same greeting to the person that comes in through the door with a jean jacket on. That sometimes we see that with children, when somebody brings children, and maybe the children aren't kept well or have don't look the best, or they may look especially with teenagers, they may not look approachable, but they still deserve a warm greeting. These are God's children. We're all human beings. We, each and every one of us, has value in the body of Christ. Each and every one of us is priceless to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we're created in his image. There's nothing he wouldn't do for us. He cherishes us. He holds us. Remember the song I was singing with my grandson the other night, that he holds the whole world in his hand. He holds you in his hand. He cuddles you in his hand. Can you imagine picking up a newborn puppy or a kitten and how you cradle it? You cradle it from wind, and you cradle it and hold it close to you. Well, that's the way the Lord holds us. Or if you've ever held a new baby, especially a newborn baby, how you bring the baby close to your bosom, and you hold the baby tight. That's the way the Lord does us. He cuddles us. He loves us. He cherishes us. He thinks we're wonderful. He thinks we're beautiful. We shouldn't be, you know, saying, oh, I don't like my hair. I don't like my eyes. I got funny looking feet. Stuff like that, because we are God's creation. He created us in his image, and he gave each and every one of us these certain unique and distinct characteristics and wants us to value the difference. The difference is what makes us unique. If we were like everybody else, if everyone was the same, we'd be like cookie cutters, like cutting out gingerbread men at Christmas time. They're all alike. But the Lord didn't want it that way. The Lord made us each different. And each of us have different gifts that have been placed inside of us, different gifts and different callings. Each of us has a different purpose in the body of Christ. And it's our mission in this life journey is to fulfill your purpose, your divine purpose in the body of Christ. Because you are cherished and you are valued, and you're such an important part of the body that we can't do without your gift and your purpose or without you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. think about it. The next time you run into someone, is that a test? Is the Lord testing you? Is the Lord showing you someone that needs to be loved, someone who needs to hear a kind word, someone who needs to be encouraged? Think about it. Who can you bless tomorrow when you go out to work, or tomorrow Thanksgiving? Who will you bless tomorrow over the Thanksgiving table? Who will you bless as you stop at the gas station and pump your gas, or you go to the store, you see your neighbors out as you pass by them? Who will you bless? Blessings aren't always just money and gifts. The blessings can be your a kind word, a smile, even a smile. People don't speak to each other the way they used to in a grocery store. Again, our topic tonight is human value. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. And in the Living Bible it says, as they were on the way to the execution ground, they came across a man from Cyrene in Africa. Simon was his name, and forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Amen. It breaks when I read the scriptures surrounding the field of blood, Jesus' crucifixion, it just breaks my heart. If you haven't seen The Passion of Christ, I encourage you to see it. But I get the full living color screenshot of that piece of the crucifixion. And here we see Simon from Cyrene in Africa, from Cyrene in Africa, and how he was forced to carry Jesus' cross. And if I remember correctly, he carried it even longer than he was asked to carry it. But sometimes, even if in our friendship, the Lord will put people around us that will help us to carry a burden, to carry our cross, help us to go through, help us to heal, help us to go through difficult seasons of our life. The Lord will put people around you, and we need to be thankful for those people. But as the body of Christ, that's one of the things we're called to do. We're called to pray for one another and to lift one another up, to carry one another's cross, like with Aaron and with Moses, to keep Moses lifted up, to keep our leaders lifted up. That's what we're called to do, to intercede, to be there to intercede. Let's look at John, verse 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 10, letter, verse 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10 reads, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Amen. Amen. The Lord came to give us life and to give us life in abundance. Life in abundance. He did not come to criticize us or to judge us. He came to help us to experience life in abundance. God intends life for you. In this ministry, we say it often, speak life, speak life, speak life. That means we have to speak about life to one another. We must speak blessings and not curses to one another. We should watch our tongue and over ourselves and over our bodies, our health. Speak life. The Lord came to give us life and life in abundance. God intends life for you. Jesus Christ came to set you free, to set you free, to set you free from the bondage of the enemy, to set you free from sin. There is a thief. The enemy did come to kill, steal, and destroy. In other words, yes, the offer is life, but you're going to have to fight for your life. You're going to have to fight the enemy for your life because the enemy has a totally different agenda for you. So we have to remember how the Lord wants us to be fully alive. So one step beyond salvation, one step beyond, is to go draw closer and closer to God. Once you've been saved, once you're baptized, we want to grow closer and closer to our God. God's word says, "Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." God's word says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That's Proverbs 4:23. You have made known to me the path of life. That's Psalm 16:11. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. John 1:4. Come to me to have life. John 5:40. Tell people the full message of this new life. Acts 20. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27:13. But we don't have to wait until we pass on to our glorious life in heaven. So right here on earth, we can experience life. Right here, right now, we can experience life. The eternal life does not start when we go to heaven. Eternal life begins right now. Begins right now. And the Lord wants us to have life in abundance right now. That we are to enjoy the things of the Lord right now. The blessing of the Lord right now. We are to speak things into existence right now. We are to come against the attacks of the enemy right now. We have to choose not to live in the things of the past, the woundings and the sins and the accusations of the past, but choose to live in the blessings and the liberty and the unity of the present and the future. And we must do that when? Right now. So, I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brother or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age as in the age to come, eternal life. In this age as in the age to come. The glory of God is man fully alive. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Have you missed it? If you missed it, I urge you to wake up and praise the Lord. Again, the glory of God is man fully alive right here, right now. And it's God's glory that binds us together. And that's why it's so important for us to understand our value and our value as the body and in the body of Christ to come together with other believers to keep ourselves encouraged, to keep us moving forward in Christ. You see, godliness, Paul says, godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Our present life and the next life. Again, eternal life begins now, a life that awaits for us in eternity. But eternity means unending, not later, but beginning now and not ending. The offer is life right now. And I implore you to choose life, to speak life to yourself, to look up the life-giving scriptures, to look up the scriptures that remind you of how much the Lord loves you and where you are in him. Look up those scriptures. Look it up. God intends life for you. Life for you. Life for you. Life for you. But right now that life has been opposed. The enemy is opposing it. It doesn't just roll in on a tray because there's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Again, I say that. The Lord calls us. Our God is a warrior. God is a warrior. And the Lord has called us to war for ourselves, for our families, and for others in the body of Christ. Now, you may think that the image of war is frightening or brutal or bloody or whatever, and it is. But what you have to understand is that is the language of the Bible, so that we can understand that we are at war, that the enemy is warring for you, and I ask you to resist the enemy, resist sin, and he will flee, more scriptures, and to also remember that the Lord loves you, and that we are to fight for our families and for ourselves, for our heart, in order that we can have life and have life more abundantly. So how does God show that he loves you? He shows he loves you every day when he wakes you up in the morning. He shows that he loves you when the sun comes up, when we see a rainbow, when we see nature about us, you hear the cry of a baby. He shows that he loves you. He loves you so much, so much. He gives us another chance every day, every single day, every single day. So I encourage you again to lift yourself up in the morning, lift Jesus Christ up, and commit yourself daily to Jesus. Commit yourself daily to Jesus. Let's see what other scriptures we have. I get on my own soapbox and keep going. I have something from Isaiah I'd like to share. It's quite poetic. I will go before you and will level the mountain. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summoned you by name. The Bible just repeatedly tells us how much he loves us, what the Lord would do for us. He gave up his life for us. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive, to release from darkness for the prisoner. That's from Isaiah 61:1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He came to set us free. He came to set us free. Share the good news with your family. Share it at church. Remember to pray. Remember to lift up your family. So what are some of the questions that we have? What main principle do you find in the scriptures that we've had this evening? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. John 10:10 again. Do you strive to be the best you can be, to reach the highest level that you can reach? Do you have any prejudice in your heart? Prejudice against people that are different than you, people of other cultures, other ethnicities. Culture includes religion, ethnicity, race, gender, your age, sexual orientation, your body type. Do you have any prejudice in you? If you do, how does that line up with scripture, and what do you plan to do with it? Do you love, I mean, really, really love your brothers and sisters in Christ? How are you showing them that you love them? Do you realize that you'll be judged for your treatment of the hungry, the homeless, the poor, the diseased, the imprisoned? Look at Matthew 24:37-40, and then ask yourself, what can you do today to become more socially concerned? What can you do today to reach out to those in need? What can you do today to be a better sister and brother to those in the body of Christ and your neighbors and those? How can you be a good Christian witness to those that are unsaved or to the pre-Christian? I'm going to open up a couple of the cues and see if anyone has anything to say. Area code 216-973, I think this is 840. Do you have anything to add? Hello? This is really strange tonight.
I just enjoyed everything.
Oh, there you are. Hi. I didn't know if it was coming through or not.
Yes.
Good, good. I'm glad you did. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you considered things that you might do to be more socially conscious and concerned for other humans?
Yes, I'm going to make sure that when I do see other persons and they're asking, I'm going to make sure that I have something saved to the side so that when I do see them, I can be able to give it and not say I don't have it because
Amen.
I don't spend it on something frivolous.
Amen. 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 I got to tell you something funny that happened, and it's funny and then kind of sad. I was shopping with my sister-in-law, and we had gotten out of her car, and we were walking towards this shop, and there was a lady sitting there. Actually, she was squatting, and she had her hands out, and I had no change. So I told her that when I came out of the building that I would, you know, that I would bless her with something. So when I came out of the building, there she was again, so I put money in her pocket. We had finished our shopping and everything, and we went on to the car. I'm feeling good. Well, praise God. Lord, please bless this lady. Bless the giving. And then we saw her get up and go to a really nice car. And she was with someone else. And so I could have automatically said, oh, she doesn't need the money, which she may not. That's between she and God. But it could have been, like I was saying at the beginning of the program this evening, that you never know what the needs are. She may have been someone who maybe just lost her job and didn't even have, or just got a job and needed money to buy gas or bus fare or whatever to get to work. Or she may have had a child at home that was in need. So you never know what the needs are. But I feel that if someone is asking, and if someone is has their hand out, that I feel the need to bless them regardless, and the need is whatever the need may be, that's between them and God. How they choose to use the gift. When I think about like other circumstances, that was just someone that I walked up on, but we can purposefully go out with the intent to give and to bless others. We have, it's very common for people to visit shelters or like city missions and want to volunteer. In fact, most of the shelters, food pantries, and food, emergency assistance food, food banks, they have an abundance of volunteers during the months of November and December. Because, as I said, those are the months of giving, and people's hearts are really, really, really stirred to give, but it's the other month that they are in lack. So very often, even with the Red Cross, very often you'll see that they need things, during other months too. So I encourage you to think about volunteering sometime between January and October. I encourage you to think about giving during those months also, and to give to ministries and organizations that don't charge, to give to ministries and organizations that don't charge people. Most cities have food banks. There are even furniture banks. So if you have furniture that you're giving away, that you need to get rid of, you're changing your decor or getting rid of furniture, or maybe someone has passed and their estate is being dissolved, then we need to think about donations, to donate to furniture banks, because there are families that have been displaced. When we think about Hurricane Katrina and most recently Hurricane Sandy, we think about what is truly happening with these people, that if they're displaced, that they have no food, they have no shelter, they have replaced furniture, and so many things. So we need to think about giving to others and supporting others in so many ways. Even clothing banks for clothing, the ministries and social organizations such as I can't even think of the name of it right now, but that you can give clothing, like business clothing, to for men and for women who are trying to get back on their feet with their training. There's a ministry called the Hospitality Network that ministers to complete families, and it's churches. It's a network of churches and synagogues that come together to serve people that may be displaced. And this is a nationwide ministry that would benefit from what you may want to donate or give. I wanted to say something about Hurricane Sandy. I was saying that the ministry we went to this weekend, the Fivefold Ministry, is number five is the number for perfection, and Fivefold Ministry will be perfected rather this year. The number for perfection is three, but this is the year that the church is going to be perfected. Hurricane Sandy was called the perfect storm, and Sandy is the name means defender. Sandy or Sandra, and I believe Alexandra and Alexander mean defender of man, defender of mankind. So Sandy and the derivatives of that name means defender of mankind. So if you know anybody named Sandy, like my sister is Sandy, Sandra, and my middle name, Alexandra, the name means defender of mankind. So you're supposed to walk in our name, the name that was given us. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Last rhetorical question is, what's your definition of abundant life? How do you define abundant life? What does abundance mean to you? Is it just prosperity? Is that abundance, that you have everything that you need? Is it health? I think as we get older, at least for me and my husband, health, to have good health is a blessing. To have peace of mind is a blessing. To have to be content with one another. We hear kids talk about being happy, or young couples talk about, well, I'm not happy, or he or she doesn't make me happy. It's being content. It's being content and being devoted, and choosing to be loving, and choosing to find joy in one another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to go on, and then we're going to close in prayer. Remember one thing: above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep an eye on that heart of yours. Be careful of what you put yourself into. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord arises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 3. And I've been trying to, as I talk, trying to find the verse that mentions how the Lord, if he just loves us so much that he dances over us. He dances over us. He rejoices over us. And he has such plans for us because of his love for us. I want to be in the love of Christ. I want to be in his will. I want to be in his will. I enjoy being part of the body, and I want to be a part of the body that exercises that gift of life. You might remember that the first Christians were called followers of the way. That's from Acts 9:2, 18:25-26. Acts 9:2, verse 2, and Acts chapter 18:25-26. They had found the way of life and had given themselves over to it. They lived together, ate together, fought together, celebrated together. They were intimate allies. It was a fellowship of the heart. How wonderful it would be if we could find the same. How dangerous it will be if we do not. My final question is, how would you live differently if you believed your heart was a treasure of the kingdom? Because we are at war. The business of guarding the heart is a most serious business indeed. It is precisely because we do not know what the next turn of the page will bring, that we nourish our heart now. Knowing at least this much, we will need our whole heart for whatever is coming next. Above all else, you must care for your heart. For without your heart, well, have a look around. That paragraph came from the book The Glory of a Heart Fully Alive, Waking the Dead, from John Eldridge. And the book is from Nelson Publishers. An excellent book. Excellent book. He's also the author of Wild at Heart. Praise the Lord for that reading. Praise the Lord. So think about it. What is your definition of abundant life? Write down some of the things that you would like to do this coming year in order to bless others. Write down some of the things that you'd like to do to increase your ministry in your neighborhood, at work, at church, in your household, among your family, those in the household and extended. Think about, do you have any prejudice? Do you have any prejudice in your heart? Carefully examine your heart. What can you do about it? Think about it. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time together this evening. We thank you, Father God, for the ministry that has gone forth. We thank you, Lord, that you would make us, Father God, spiritually and culturally responsive, Father God, to your people, dear Lord. That we will actively, Father God, engage one another, Father God, in fellowship. We thank you, Father, for your kind and tender mercies that you give us every single day renewed. We praise you, Father God, that we have been carefully and wonderfully made uniquely by you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for our divine callings, Father God, and we ask you, Lord, We thank you, Lord, for the purposes that you have put in us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for for the gifts that you have given us, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, and we ask you, Lord, to just show us, Father God, how we are to walk out our promise and walk out our destiny and purpose in you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for opportunities to minister, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunities, dear Lord, to be a witness for Jesus Christ, Father God, in this world as we go in and out of the marketplace, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for that you would show us our hearts, Father God, that if there be any sins of omission or commission, dear Lord, that you would illuminate it, Father God, that we may deal with it, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, that if there be any prejudice in our hearts, Father God, that you would reveal it, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you would put people around us, Father God, to exercise, Father God, the new teachings that you have that you are giving us, Father God, and awakening us to. We thank you, Lord, that you will watch our tongues, Father God, that we would speak life and not death to our situations and to our brothers and sisters, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you would help us, Lord, to be responsible, Father God, and to be caring, Father God, for one another, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us dominion, Father God, over this earth, Father God, and over the animals, the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, dear Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you would also help us, Father God, to learn to be good stewards of the things that you have given us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your provisions, Father God. We acknowledge, Father God, that we have been blessed to be a blessing, Father God, that you will show us, Father God, how we can bless others, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, because you're so awesome and you're so wise. You're so merciful, dear Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, dear Lord, that you are Jehovah Nisi, dear Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, dear Lord, that you are our Jehovah Shalom. We thank you, Father God, for your peace. We thank you, Lord, for this season of thanksgiving, Father God, and that you would pierce the heart, Father God, of every listener, Father God, to be thankful and to be giving, Father God, not just with this season, but all. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for this time of ministry. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every home, Father God, where this ministry reaches out to, Father God, and each and every listener and their families, Father God, right now, that they will be blessed from their head to their toe. We thank you, dear Lord, in Jesus' sweet, sweet, sweet holy name. Amen. This is Blog Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Suzanne, and I thank you so much for this time this evening.
my past.